Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Update from One Bills Drive. Bills players off today. They're back tomorrow to resume the practice week, getting set for the winless Miami Dolphins. Running back Devin Singletary, the motor, may be ready to return. He's missed three games and had the bye week to recover from the hamstring strain he suffered against the Giants. Bills offense, looking to be more productive, may have a chance to do it this Sunday. Miami dead last in the NFL defensively in yards and points allowed. They give up 36 points per game. The Bills give up just 14 points per game. Dolphins quarterback position, bit of a question mark. Coach Brian Flores just said last week that Josh Rosen will be their starter for the balance of 2019. He played poorly against Washington on yesterday. Flores says we'll see what happens this week in practice. They don't need more evaluation time on their guy. Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton's foot injury has healed well. He is expected to be ready to practice after their bye this week. Kyle Allen, an undrafted free agent, has gone 4-0 as a starting quarterback in his absence. Panthers have parted ways with former Bills draft pick Ray McLeod. Their return specialist had troubles against Tampa Bay in London. Three muff punts in two games against the Buccaneers overall. He was released today. McLeod, the Bills' sixth-round pick in 2018, now looking for a third spot in the NFL. The XFL holding its draft and its quarterback assignment today. Former UB quarterback Tyree Jackson, who spent the offseason with the Bills, drafted in the ninth round in the XFL draft by the DC Defenders. Earlier, DC was assigned quarterback Cardale Jones, Buffalo's fourth-round pick in 2016, who spent a couple of years with the Los Angeles Chargers. Sabres beat Dallas 4-0 yesterday on home ice. Carter Hutton with 25 saves, his first shutout of the year. Now they're off for a Western road trip. The Sabres now in California, a three-game trip that starts tomorrow night against Anaheim. And baseball playoffs tonight, a couple of games in the American League Division Series. It is game three of the Astros and Yankees. 4:08, that game starts today at Yankee Stadium. Series tied 1-1 apiece. In the National League Championship Series, Cardinals and Washington play tonight in Washington, 8:05. And the Nats might wrap it up. They lead the series 3-0. And that, my friends, is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our studio here in Orchard Park, joined on the line by our 1 o'clock on Tuesday date. We're with our guy Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network, the co-host of Good Morning Football. Good afternoon, Kyle Brandt. Good to be with you here today.
Good afternoon, Murph and Steve. And I have to start with an apology to all of your listeners. You might not believe that, but I do. Last week, I have to say, since I've been meeting with you guys every week, listeners, very supportive, very encouraging, very friendly. And yet last week I came out and told you that looking at the Bills' schedule, this could be a 10-win team. I thought I was being positive and constructive and paying a compliment. I was attacked after the appearance for an insult of a 10-win team, that a 10-win team is the basement. And in fact, I slighted the entire Bills fan base by saying a 10-win team. And you know what, guys? I think that they're right. I think 10 is the basement. I should have said 12. Do I hear 13? But I will apologize to start the conversation.
Well, let me point this out to you, Kyle. Preseason, before they kicked off, I said they were going to win 10 games. My partner over here, Steve Tasker, says 11-plus. First of all, that is an invalid response when you ask somebody to pick how many wins, right? You can't say 11-plus.
Is a number with a plus sign on it not valid?
No.
Well, would you ever do a minus sign, Steve?
Right. Really, you're going to win
sense.
Nine or
just
less.
Pick a number.
Yeah.
Well, the 11-plus would be like maybe a playoff game win or maybe even a home playoff game kind of thing, right?
Well, if they go 15-1, technically you're right, because 15 is 11-plus, right?
Yeah. I claim everything above 11.
That's why it's invalid. So here are the Bills coming off the bye, Kyle, with their 4-1 record, feeling pretty good, and especially good about what they see around them in the AFC. So your thoughts about maybe more than 10 wins? It looked like we all might be onto something here with the way this season is playing out, not just in Buffalo, but around the AFC, huh?
Maybe. And it's kind of nice right now because there's a lot of hand-wringing, a lot of debating about who are the great teams in the AFC after New England. And I feel like it's kind of cool that the Bills took a bye now because, at least on our show in the morning, we haven't talked about them in a week. And we're trying to figure out, do the Texans have it to take out the Patriots? Are the Chiefs good? All right, can we trust the Ravens? And there's very little conversation about Buffalo. I found it interesting. I looked this up. Let me ask Steve, Mr. 11 plus. The last time I think that the Bills went 4-1 and then had a bye was the 1990 season. You guys went 4-1 and then went into the bye. Do you remember that at all? And when you have that bye after starting 4-1, do you start to think we rule the world or we got to stay hungry? Like, I'm trying to get into the mindset of this Bills team because they're sitting pretty.
Right. It's so old school. You go back to 1990, and I don't remember that, but I know this. Back then, the question was always, wow, is this a good time for the bye week? Is it too early? Is it too late? And the question is always now, everybody knows the answer. It's always a good time for the bye week because somebody needs to get healthy. Somebody needs a rest. But for the Bills, we've been talking about this all week, Kyle. It's been 11 weeks since the start of the training camp to this point, and now they've got 11 weeks left to close out the season, the regular season, and it seems like it's the perfect time. They've had a little rash of injuries. But I don't remember being 4-1 and you know, getting a bye week that early in my career. 1990 is the first Super Bowl year for the team. But it's interesting the correlation because this is really a schedule that's like, wow, it's hard to picture the Bills being an underdog in any of the games.
Well, you think about it now, it feels like they're still on a bye. They got the Dolphins. I mean, the Dolphins' plan is very clear. The Dolphins are not in it to win games. It feels that way. And I would say to Bills fans, enjoy the Dolphins now. Because I do think they're going to be good in a couple of years. What you want about tanking. It works. Yeah. You collect a whole bunch of draft picks. It typically works. I think the Dolphins will be good. But, God, they are terrible now. They just lost to that Redskins team. So think about this now. 4-1. I think they'll beat Miami. They're going to the playoffs. Guys, unless some sort of terrible meltdown or a bad rash of injuries, the Bills are going to be in the playoffs. Who's the team they're going to get? Is that playoff team going to be at home? I think what's really interesting – and a little scary right now in the AFC specifically, is not just that Deshaun Watson's playing well. It's not that the Texans seem to be good. Deshaun Watson has not been sacked in two straight games. Now, remember, the only problem with him was he gets hit too much, he holds onto the ball. And if you go back a little further, as you guys know, thinking about the Dolphins, the Houston Texans made this trade for the tackle, Laremy Tunsil. And everybody said they were crazy, and Twitter said they were idiots and they paid too much. Well, the offensive line right now is playing lights out, and Deshaun Watson just outplayed Mahomes in his stadium. So if you ask me about the AFC, who's dangerous right now, it is a clean jersey Deshaun Watson who looks really, really good. And that's a team Buffalo could run into at the end of the year.
We're on the line with Kyle Brandt, NFL Network co-host of Good Morning Football. One more Bills issue we want to deal with you here, Kyle, and it's our Twitter poll today. We're 2 weeks away today from the NFL trade deadline. And there are segments, and actually a lot of Bills fans think they should make a move before the deadline. Should the Bills make a trade to improve offensively? On the Twitter poll right now, 800 votes in over the last hour or so. Half of our respondents say yes, add a wide receiver. 27% say yes, add an offensive lineman. 24% say no, stay the course. Steve and I are on the stay the course course, at least for a couple of weeks until we get to the trade deadline. What do you think about that question?
Well, it's always easier to say, we got to do something. We got to get the shiny object. We got to get the cool weapon. The defense looks great, obviously. And look, it doesn't surprise me that your listeners say we need some firepower. There is one name out there that I think is interesting, and it's the running back for the Chargers, Melvin Gordon. Now, I know that Devin Singletary looks good and Frank Gore is venerable, but Melvin Gordon, with his whole experience of holding out and not really having a home with the Chargers, if he were to be available to come in and be this game breaker, this workhorse, I feel like that could really help the Bills offense. Contractually down the road, it gets dicey. I don't know if you can have him for the rest of the year and then get rid of him. But as you were asking me the question, rule out Jalen Ramsey. The Bills don't need him, and I don't think the Jags are trading him. But if some of the sexier names, it'd be pretty cool to get in a fresh new running back to go with that offense. Melvin Gordon, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, that's an interesting take because a lot of people are wrapped up in this wide receiver thing because this is a team last year in the last half of the season in a year that they struggled offensively. The long ball was the only tool in the toolbox they had, and it was a lot of fun to watch, and now that seems to have disappeared. You got Josh Allen going from 53% completion rate last year, over 70% this last week against Tennessee. It's a different offense, and I don't know that there's a need to transform it at all, given the fact that they're trying to play complementary football with a defense that's dominating.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the risk, Steve, is you start transforming it and adding new weapons, and then let's say you do go make a trade for somebody, and you tell Josh Allen, we got to make this work, and he starts forcing it to him. The last thing that Josh Allen needs is to start forcing more passes. The right. defense is so good, you just want to keep doing what you're doing. And typically you might say, well, don't rest on your laurels. Let's get better. The laurels are pretty good right now. I still think that they're the second best team in the AFC at 4-1. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't do anything rash. Typically at this point in the Bills season, we're like, oh, man, we got to get a pulse of life here or something. It's really good right now. You know, we're having Coach McDermott is coming on Good Morning Football tomorrow. So maybe I will have to ask him personally. And if any of your listeners have any other questions they want to ask, I'm happy to take them.
Yeah, what do you think they need to do offensively? What's Josh Allen need to do to play better? I mean, he had a 70% completion percentage last week. Seems to be gaining, threw one interception of a completely different nature than the old-time stupid over-the-top throw. This one was a throw we tried to fit in. Seemed to take a real step forward next week. But as we've seen, he may take a step backwards as well this coming week.
You know, I'm looking at the action all around the league this past weekend, and it's just there's the quarterbacks who mess up and the ones who play clean. You know, Jameis Winston threw 5 interceptions in a game. That's Jameis Winston's game. I think if he plays another year or 20 more years, I think that's the kind of quarterback he is. Aaron Rodgers, as good as he is, he just doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make the big mistakes. Josh Allen is still figuring that out. I don't know if he's one of these messy quarterbacks. I mean, look what Baker Mayfield's doing right now. He's leading the league in interceptions. It's not even close. This was a guy in college we thought had the total control of accuracy. I think he's got 11 picks this year, and the Browns are falling apart. So that's the thing with Josh Allen. We talk about this every week, guys. I love the leadership. I love the athleticism. He just makes that one head-shaking pick a game, and sometimes it's 2 or 3. So he's at this point where I feel like he's in his adolescence as a quarterback, second year, bunch of starts under his belt. Are you going to be the mess-up guy, or are you going to be able to play clean? And I think he's going to figure that out in the next couple of months. That's really it. I don't mind the weapons. I like what they did. I like Brown. I like Beasley. I like the line. I just wish there could be a couple more clean games, because when you get against New England, we saw it. You make a couple mistakes, the thing's over.
With Kyle Brandt of the NFL Network, let's move you around the league a little bit, Kyle. And you were talking about AFC contenders a moment ago, and I don't think you mentioned Kansas City. They've lost a couple in a row at home, but they're still to be heard from this year, right? You're not writing them off at all, I wouldn't think.
No, they're still going to play a role in this thing. It's just strange. You know, you lose 2 at home, and – listen, it's not talking. It's getting talked about much because Mahomes is not hyping it. Mahomes is not right. His ankle is not right. He doesn't run around very well. Some of his best plays are improvisational. That's not there. But, guys, let's not pretend this is nothing. I said for weeks, once Tyreek Hill gets back, it'll be all better. He changes the whole offense. Tyreek Hill was back, and he was great. And they still lost at home to a Houston team that probably shouldn't be beating them in Arrowhead. So it's almost this feeling with Mahomes now, kind of a lot like there is with Sean McVay and his Rams in the NFC, which is, guys, there's blood in the water. They've been taking over the league for a year and a half now. All of a sudden, they're playing a lot of man defense on them that they're not beating. The Chiefs don't run the ball well. So we love Pat Mahomes, and we can play his highlights all day. They're not scoring 30 to 40 points every single week. The defense isn't great. So it's like, I think they will be there in the end because they're that talented. But this is now a factor of, and again, I'll bring it back to Buffalo, that could be one of those teams that they run into in the playoffs, the Chiefs, and you don't want to go to Arrowhead. If the Chiefs finish up 10-6 and they have to come to Buffalo, it's a lot better matchup.
Yeah, one thing I asked you as well in that game at Kansas City, when Houston went into Kansas City and beat them, when are we going to be, and maybe you're not, but when are the rest of us going to be, you know, not be surprised by Deshaun Watson? I mean, the guy, all of a sudden, he's in the MVP conversation, and he looks great.
He's fantastic. You know what I think it is, Steve, is it's not even so much Deshaun Watson. We've all bought into him since Clemson. There's just something about Houston. There's a handful of teams over the last decade that are really hard to trust because they give you the fool's gold and they look great and they rattle off a bunch of wins and then they let you down. The second, you know, if you're me, you go on TV and say they can't lose and then they lose by 3 touchdowns. You know, this Deshaun Watson team, they lost to Kyle Allen of the Panthers, a guy who had zero experience and came in and beat them. So I think I love Deshaun as an athlete and as a quarterback. But, you know, at the same time, back in the playoffs last year, he looked terrible in that playoff loss. Big stage, Deshaun Watson, who goes up and down the field against Alabama and made the country fall in love with him, looked terrible. So this has been some great, great football from him and some clean football. But he's one of the teams that I can't trust yet. They've let me down too many times. You guys know you go on the radio and throw one with people. There's nothing worse than you say this team's going to be great, and then the guy throws four interceptions and loses. I've had that happen. I've gotten Houston before. Houston, we do have a problem, and it's often me vouching for you.
Hey, I want to ask you about another AFC team, and I've been thinking a little bit this week about Greg Roman down there in Baltimore and what he has done with Jackson, his quarterback. 152 yards on the ground in a year in which they were supposed to, I think many people thought, turn him into a passer, and yet Greg Roman's smart enough, and he spent a little time here, smart enough to know that that's a weapon that he can use as a runner too. I think that's a pretty interesting development down there in Baltimore.
Well, it's awesome to watch. I mean, it's what he's doing. It feels like the sport is changing right in front of us. Like we've never seen numbers like this, not consistently. And yet, I don't know, guys. Listen, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or it's because I'm a father of two. It just makes me very nervous. You know, I'm teaching my kid to ride his bike right now. We took the training wheels off. He falls all the time, and he tries to get up and be tough. But every time he falls, I hold my breath. And every time Lamar Jackson runs across the middle, I hold my breath because – we always get our breath taken away by these running quarterbacks and these great athletes. And then next thing you know, the trainers are coming out and they're out for 2 to 3 weeks. When I look at Lamar Jackson, I say, okay, how's Cam Newton playing this year? His foot's injured. Do you remember Michael Vick breaking his leg in the preseason game against Baltimore? I love that he runs. He should run. It would be a crime to have Lamar Jackson not run. I just hope they got a plan, because having him run it 200 times and get to the playoffs, it feels like it's not a question of if, but a matter of when he's going to go down. And I hope they have a different plan for it, because we've seen it too many times. These running quarterbacks get hurt.
Yeah, and how long can that last? I mean, Cam Newton, now you say he's been in and out of the lineup with injury. Last year he was ineffective because of an injury. Sooner or later, a quarterback, a long-term quarterback is going to be 6 years, and he's going to be done if they start running these guys like that. And then you've got – look at the other side of the coin. You got guys like – Philip Rivers and Eli Manning, those guys that never run, and they can play for almost two decades. Tom Brady as well. How do you, where's the balance there that the league is going to strike?
I don't know. It's tricky, Steve, because Lamar's an incredible passer. He looks really good. And so what can you really sit there as an offensive coach or as a Ravens fan in the stands and be like, no, Lamar, don't run. It's too dangerous. Because he's about to rip off a 38-yard run on 3rd and 12, so of course he's got to do it. And I remember when we had this debate with Michael Vick, he's got to stay in the pocket, he shouldn't run. I remember John Mann was on Monday Night Football and said, what do you mean he shouldn't run? He's Michael Vick, of course he should run. But we saw how it ended. So if Lamar's going to be the guy for the next 3 or 4 years, sure, run the wheels off. But if we're going to be talking 9, 10 years from now in the AFC North that Lamar Jackson is still the quarterback, I mean, I think Cam Newton is done in Carolina, and I mean that. It sounds profound. He couldn't win. He keeps getting hurt. Now he's got a foot injury, and sure enough, you get what every team wants, an unknown, cheap quarterback who comes in and can't miss. That happens. If Cam Newton was a pocket guy who didn't run as much, I don't think he would be hurt. I don't think we even know who Kyle Allen is. So it's the long-term danger that you worry about.
Hey, Kyle, the Tennessee Titans have a quarterback decision to make. May come as soon as today or tomorrow. And I don't know what the right answer is for Mike Vrabel down there. We have firsthand knowledge of what the issues Marcus Mariota has, but I don't know what they should do down there in Tennessee. Do you?
No, but there's – I mean, listen – you remember the last election, okay? And there were two candidates, and there's a lot of people who didn't like either candidate. They didn't like the man or they didn't like the woman. And they would develop the slogan that just said, just give me the asteroid. Let the asteroid hit the planet Earth. I don't want to vote for either of these people. It's the nuclear option when you say, listen, we just benched our franchise quarterback for Ryan Tannehill, who, God love him, is not the next Patrick Mahomes. If I'm a Tennessee Titans fan right now and Mike Vrabel is saying Tannehill or Mariota, I'm just going to say start the asteroid.
I like that. Right.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. One last thing before the asteroid hits.
Yes.
Maybe we should also do that with the officiating controversies around the NFL.
Oh,
I mean, it's been – and I said this earlier in the show. Kyle, is there some sort of season during the football, a subseason, where every year we have to have a conversation about – how are we going to fix the officiating? What's going to happen? Let's get a sky judge. Let's see that. What's going to happen?
It's funny. I always refer to it as referee radio. Right. It's just you start talking officiating, and it's tedious as hell, and you don't love it. And yet people get really emotional about it. And the second you guys would throw out to your callers, call with your officiating takes, the phone lines will let up. They love it. There seems to be something different, right? Our whole lives we've watched football. There's always a complaint about the referees the day after the game. It happens. it seems to be going different now. And I mean that there seems to be more. It seems to be getting bigger. And I don't think just because everyone's got a Twitter account or something. I was watching this Jets-Cowboys game this last week. There was one point where six straight plays were flagged. Six straight. So much so that the usually erudite and proper Jim Nance said, "Can we get one play without a penalty call, please?" And he says this on CBS, and he was right. So, listen, I think what they're doing is they're over-officiating the hell out of it, and they don't want to be the crew or the guy who didn't make the call, because there's this idea that, well, we can review things now, and maybe there's a safety net. And yet, I'm watching the Detroit Lions get called for two non-penalties from the same player in the same violation. You can't review that stuff. So here's the question that I would pose. Bill Belichick has said for years, just screw it. Make every single thing reviewable. Holding, offsides, hands to the face. Everything is challengeable. Everything is reviewable. To me as a fan, that sounds tedious as hell. But this morning, if I'm a Lions fan and illegal hands to the face is reviewable, we beat the Packers last night.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So maybe Belichick is smarter than the rest of us like we thought.
Yeah, but it also comes down to this. I know that I've got some, you know, some vested interest in the CFL where that is the
sure.
case. And what happens is the head coaches use it as a weapon, and they'll wait till deep into the third period where they give up or get a big play, and the other team will automatically challenge it and say, hey, away from the football, over here on the left, we've got eyes on the field, and they say there was a penalty, and they bring it back, and they challenge it. And and we lost Kyle for just a second. He's going to come back. But that's what happens, Murph.
Yeah.
You just hold it and use it as a weapon and to get out of a big play that you've given up defensively, and you challenge it. And over here, yeah, the wide receiver pushed off, or there was offensive holding on the left tackle. And as long as the coaching staff who challenges it has eyes on it, they got an angle of it, yeah, okay, the big play comes off the board. You
right.
go back, you take all these great plays away, and it becomes a weapon for the team that still has a challenge.
Well, and you see some of that kind of creeping in now with the NFL, how, look, coaches will play every card they have to try to get an advantage. And they use the officiating and now replay officiating when it comes to pass interference. They use that as a competitive thing. How can we best use this? It's not good. It's not good. And it's not even it's not even the fact that it extends games. It does. That doesn't bother me as much as how it just eliminates the human aspect of the game. Kyle coming back or not? We don't know yet. Trying to get Kyle out. All right, so we're going to say goodbye to Kyle Brandt for joining us. And he should know, and you should know, we got Referee Radio coming up on our show in an hour.
Mike
Pereira is going to join us from the NFL on Fox.
Got a lot of – I like – Mike's one of the officials I really like. There's a bunch of them out there, Dean Blandino, Mike Pereira, Mike Carey. There's a ton of guys out there that really have some great insights. It'll be fun to talk to Mike.
We thank Kyle Brandt for joining us. Sorry we lost touch with him down the stretch there. Kyle from the NFL Network and – the host of Good Morning Football. And by the way, I was going to ask him the time, but they've got Sean McDermott on their show tomorrow morning on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. We will look for that.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to Kyle. We got more coming up. Want to hear from you about our Twitter question today. 2 weeks from the trade deadline, did the Bills need to make a move to improve their offense? Let us know what you think. Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Coming back, One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. Live from the Seneca Studio, this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Halfway through the show, it is One Bills Live. We're coming here from Orchard Park. Bills return to practice tomorrow, and we'll have a good show tomorrow as well. We think we got a good one here halfway through. We like what we've done, and Mike Pereira's coming up. No, I'm just doing a little self-assessment,
is your
right?
shoulder hurting from patting yourself on the back?
No, I'm just doing a little self-assessment. What have we done, and what's to come?
Yeah.
Mike Pereira's going to join us at 2 o'clock. Should we open up phone calls for Mike Pereira? Do you think he'd take that, producer Jay Harris? I don't know if he'd be up for that.
Might float that out to him.
Might float that out and see. But at any rate, we got enough questions for Mike. Thanks for tuning in. We got a good Twitter poll going on today, and it deals with the Bills and the trade deadline just 2 weeks away from today. I'm guessing it's 4 p.m. 2 weeks from today, October 29th. So 2 weeks away from the trade deadline, what do you think? Do the Bills need to make a move to improve defensively? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Send in a tweet. We're going to get to the tweet sheet in a moment. We're voting our Twitter poll, 900 votes on Twitter so far. And of the 900, almost half of you, 48%, say, yeah, they need to make a move. They need to add a wide receiver. 27% say, yeah, they need to add an offensive lineman. Really? 25% say, no, stay the course. 75% of respondents say they need to make a move. I'm not stunned, but I'm surprised. It's a good start for the Bills. I mean, neither Steve nor I, both Steve and I vote for stay the course. I think our last guest, Kyle Brandt, who's paying attention to the Bills pretty closely, says stay the course is the way to go. I'm not saying be conservative. I'm not saying don't, if something presents itself, and look, you got 2 weeks, but for right now, I would stay the course, Steve, for a variety of reasons we talked about.
Here's, I think, where this is generated from, and I think it's the offenses. 18 points a game instead of 25 points a game, 27 points
sure.
a game. That's where it comes from. They're, you know, a couple of field goals away from being what you would look at and say, that is a team that is headed deep into the playoffs and is going to be a contender.
What if I told you, and the, you know, I know it's yardage, not points. What if I told you, though, the Bills were a top 10 offense this year? Would you believe that?
Yeah, I would.
They are a top 10 offense in terms of total yards per game.
And here's the interesting thing, too. They're a top 10 offense. They move the football, and they're the tops in the league at red zone efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things don't add up, and they're not scoring enough points.
It's the turnovers that hurt.
There you go.
Get rid of the turnovers. That's part of staying the course. What do you think? Give us a call. Let's discuss. Let's go to Eric in Connecticut. Hello, Eric. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph.
Hey.
Future Hall of Famer, Tasker. Thanks for taking my call. The Twitter poll, I think defensively, nothing. We are as stacked as anybody. We should be the number one feared defense in the playoffs, especially at the Ralph, but that won't happen.
Right.
The only thing I would think of is, as being a diehard and watching every game and every snap, is that right tackle. Cody Ford sometimes a little scares me a bit. And Secchi's a lot better, but he's hurt. I don't know what his status is. So, you know, I wouldn't mind getting just maybe another good veteran swing tackle that can play inside and outside. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I see it. You could use some depth there. Although they finished up the game this last week with Ryan Bates, at right tackle when you got Cody Ford and Mitch Morse hurt. I don't know that Bates is a long-term answer. I know that he's the guy that went in. It wasn't anybody else. It wasn't Ike Butker. It wasn't one of the other offensive linemen, that was the guy that got in there, rookie free agent they traded for from Philadelphia. They liked him. He went in, finished the game up, and they closed it out of that four-minute offense. I thought that was a huge, huge statement by the entire offensive line. You had two guys in off the bench finishing up the game, and three of those guys were forced to play different positions, and they closed out that game in a four-minute offense where they weren't throwing the football at all and got it done. Oh, that was a huge statement. I hear what you're saying, and Murph and I have all said it a long time as well. I think Cody Ford is a really good guard and an okay tackle, and Inseki's injuries have complicated the matter. His inability to stay on the field and stay healthy have hurt their ability, because now that moves Cody Ford out to tackle, and then you stick in John Feliciano in there at right guard. So I'm with you. I'm always up for getting a better offensive lineman, particularly one that can really play, but I don't know that it's if the price is right, okay, I'm up for that. But you know, is that guy going to really be better for that price? I don't know.
Here's a call from Dominic. Welcome to the show, Dominic. You're on the air with us.
Hi, Murph, Steve.
Hi.
I'm with you guys. I think personally that the Bills should stay put, mainly because, like you guys said before, we haven't seen the offense 100% healthy with Singletary. I mean, he provides a little bit of the receiving threat. You haven't really seen Robert Foster too much either. You saw what he did last year. And if you're going to go and get some guy at the deadline, it's going to be for a lot. and Dean loves that draft picks. So you don't really want to, he's not going to reach on a guy at the deadline like that. Also, if you look at the draft too, there's a lot of wide receivers out in the draft next year. I know it's only week 7, but if you're looking for a true number one, you can find one in the draft a lot cheaper than a guy like A.J. Green would be if you try to re-sign him, and a lot cheaper than Stephon Diggs is right now because he signed the extension last year or this year, whenever it was. But, yeah, I personally, I'm with you guys. I think they need to hang on to their picks and don't reach on something at the deadline if it doesn't fall into their lap. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and that's a good way to put it, and I had not put it that way. But don't reach now, you know. You don't have to reach. You're not desperate. You've got 4 wins, 1 loss. No need to reach here. And again, we got 2 weeks until the deadline, so stuff might change. Things could happen both here and elsewhere to make that different, but don't reach right now.
What is it you say? It's a week-to-week league?
I do say that.
I think it's you. I think I've heard you say that before.
It's
true.
It's true, yeah.
Things may change a lot in 10 days.
Yeah.
And, or, you know, or 10 days from Friday, you know? So, yeah, there's no reason. I think you're – keep on keeping on. They like the guys they've got. All those guys on this roster are here for a reason. And, you know, Dominic, the caller, just said, you know, we haven't seen Robert Foster this year. The reason Robert Foster hasn't been seen this year is that he can't get on the field.
Well, he got a little banged up. And, yeah, he did.
Who
the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, who are they going to sit down now?
That's a good question.
Are they going to sit down Duke Williams? I don't think so. Not after getting 100% of the targets that were thrown to him.
You can see the difference in what Robert Foster might offer than
They're
Duke
different.
Williams.
They're very different.
And they might need that component, right? The deep threat speed pass, speed wide receiver.
And here's the thing, too. It's all, you know, this is all matchup based and it's all game to game. And I don't know that it's that critical against a team like Miami coming up this week. But you put Robert Foster on one side, who is a legit 4-3 guy coming out. You got Robert Foster on the other side, who is
John Brown,
and put Robert Foster on the other side. You got two really fast guys, and you got Isaiah McKenzie. You can throw in that mix. And all of a sudden, you got a track team out there that can go to any corner of the field really quick. That's a different kind of matchup than you put Duke Williams out there and Cole Beasley and two tight ends like Tommy Sweeney and Dawson Knox. That's a whole different group to defend, and it all comes down to how they're going to match up with whatever defense they're playing this week in the Miami Dolphins. You might want to go with two tight ends, hit them with a running game, and let those tight ends run free, or you might want to put a bunch of speed on the field, knowing that maybe they don't have enough guys to keep up.
What do you've been saying this since week one? They've got a lot under the hood on offense.
And I think they got a big engine.
I think so, too. And I don't think we've seen all the components that they have under the hood, including Singletary and obviously the tight end Tyler Croft and Robert Foster. There are other components of this offense still under the hood that they have not yet unveiled. So
I really do.
Sit tight. Be patient a little.
And I get it. Some people want to jumpstart this big engine with a new guy. I think, you know, they just need to maybe throw some quick start into the carburetor a little bit. You know, they've got a big bunch of weapons that they haven't tapped into yet. Devin Singletary's is a catalyst for a lot of guys playing better out there because they can leave him on the field in certain situations and not sub him out and tip off what they're going to do. You can go in different personnel combinations. I think this offense has got a lot under the hood that they have not tapped into yet. And I don't think bringing more things in is going to necessarily make them better than what they already are if they can just find a way to get all these components acclimated, get them on the field, get the football to them. I think it has more to do with maybe Josh than it does with the guys on the outside or in some new toy that we haven't seen yet.
And it's about turnovers with Josh.
It's about turnovers.
Yep, and they are a top 10 offense right now, top 10 in the league. All right, we're going to break. We're going to get to the tweet sheet when we return. This hour is flying by. Come on back. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health Live from the Seneca Studio. Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close. Welcome back. One Bills Live comes to you from Orchard Park. It is absolutely gorgeous outside right now, Steve Tasker. Did you take a look? I did.
I did
58
not.
Degrees, beautiful blue skies, not a cloud in the sky. Fair skies. So then I get thinking, maybe this is what we get Sunday. Sunday's forecast, the early forecast, is for mostly cloudy skies and 64 degrees. Really not a chance of rain on Sunday.
I'll tell you, did you notice when you're driving in, it is full-blown autumn out? Not quite, though.
Not quite.
I don't think it's full yet.
It's not full-blown.
What do they call it?
Peak.
Yeah. I don't think it's peak yet, no. But man, oh man, is it beautiful out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The sun hits that. The sunrise beautiful this morning out on this tree. It really is spectacular out this
time. I spent the weekend in Finger Lakes, and it was much more colored.
Advanced?
Yeah, than it is here. A little bit more anyway, but still not peak. Anyway, the Bills, 2 weeks away from the trade deadline. Our question is, do they need to make a move to improve offensively? We got to get to the tweet sheet. Haven't done that yet today. The tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. On the tweet sheet from William, he says, I voted to stay the course. There's a saying that goes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I've heard that. William says, I agree with that right now for the Bills. Why give up draft picks, which they don't have a lot of next year, for someone like A.J. Green? After Sunday, I don't see the Vikings letting Diggs go either. Good points, William. Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I see it.
Brian tweets this, and we could use a wide receiver upgrade, but I think we are still 1 year of Josh Allen growth away from being a true Super Bowl contender. Until he consistently shows he can move the ball without the turnovers, a trade at this point is a waste unless it's a long-term move. Stay the course. Couple of interesting thoughts there from some listeners.
With 11 games to go, you got to think, yeah, the turnovers have been the big bugaboo, whatever you problem. He seemed to throw him, he threw him in bunches against the Patriots. He's done it in other games this year where the defense was able to bail him out of and they climbed out of it.
Jets.
And even in this last game, he threw one. They had one turnover in the game, right, against the Tennessee Titans.
Yep.
And, you know, they only won by what? A touchdown, 6 points. So that, you know, they still got to find a way to score points. That's got to be the difference. They've got to put up 24, 25, you know, four touchdowns or plus a couple of field goals. On average, we've been talking about it, good playoff teams are 24.5-point average scoring teams in the NFL. The Bills need two more field goals to get there. You know, two more field goals will get them in that neighborhood. So they might have gotten there a couple of times this year, but they won the games anyway. So we'll see what happens from this point forward. But if you stop turning it over and start converting some of those turnovers into just field goals, you know, the team takes a big step forward, and they're even more difficult to beat than they are with a 4-1 record.
Josh Allen has thrown 7 interceptions. Matt Barkley has thrown 1. And league-wide, in terms of percent of passes have intercepted, the Bills are 4th worst in the league. They're 29th in the league in the percentage of their passes intercepted. That
not only
has to get better, I think it will get better. I really do. I think it has to get better.
Yeah, and we've seen it. It's one of those. The problem with it is it's the most unpredictable thing ever, right?
Yeah, some of them are just bounces. They're flukes.
Tipped passes and stuff. You saw it in the Green Bay Packer game last night. Aaron Rodgers throws one down deep into Lion territory. The receiver turns around, kind of running one way, turns back the other way, bounces right off his face mask. Should have been caught for a big gain. Great play, great throw. Doink off his face mask, going the other way, Lions ball, right?
Yep.
So, you know, that kind of thing is the most unpredictable part of NFL football games. But we know this. We've seen a lot of it this year with Josh Allen. Those interceptions that are just flat out dumb. And those are the ones that make you pull your hair out.
Yep.
And you got to limit those and get rid of them.
Got a caller on the line who's been waiting a while. Joe in Tonawanda. Go ahead, Joe. Thanks for standing by.
Hey, guys. I can't even believe we even have this question. I thought we don't mess with your Bills, John. What's up with that? All right. There's no way in the world we're going to get Antonio Brown, right? That's totally out of the question.
I hope so. I don't want him.
I'll say yes.
All right. Is there any chance maybe I don't want it to happen, but just in case Beasley gets hurt, is Danny Amendola open for discussion? Thank you.
Okay. Amendola's playing somewhere, isn't he? I lost track of him. Let's find out. Pretty sure he's playing somewhere.
Yeah, he might be.
You don't want Antonio Brown, by the way, after the antics he pulled in Oakland and the trouble he has been revealed to be in, you know, when he went to New England. Really? You really want Antonio Brown? I don't know what that is. It's like a weird impulse that some fans have. Well, we got to make a trade. Trade deadline. Got to do something. Got to be active. Got to make a trade. No, you don't. When you're 4-1, you especially don't.
Amendola's with the Detroit Lions. He played last night.
We saw him in preseason.
And he was questionable for week 6. So I didn't see last night that he even played. So I don't know.
We'll get more into this. Should the Bills make a trade to improve offensively? Steve and I say right now stay the course, but we'll entertain other suggestions, I guess, in the third and final hour of the show. How'd you like to talk about officiating? We're going to do that when we return. Mike Pereira, one of the foremost experts on NFL officiating from the NFL on Fox. He's the league's former director of officiating. Boy, I don't even know where to begin with Mike Pereira. There's just a lot. We'll talk about it.
We'll dive in.
We'll figure it out.
We'll start with the calls last night.
Yeah. 1 hour to go. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.